But you're faithful. Every time I preach to you, I use this specific title. I call you the faithful. And I would like to take the sermon today and touch upon the virtue of faith. We just read in today's gospel, St. John the Baptist sent two of his disciples to ask Christ, "Are you he who is to come, or shall we look for another?" And of course, they're talking about, are you the Messiah? Are you the Savior? Now, it's interesting because we know from a previous gospel that St. John already knew the answer to that question. He himself publicly declared, "Behold the Lamb of God, behold him who takes away the sins of the world." So John already knew. He already had faith. This is the Christ. So it was not for himself, for a confirmation on his part, that he sent the disciples, but for their own salvation, for these two disciples to go and talk with our Lord to see and believe in Christ. Now, we do not have the opportunity that these two disciples of St. John had to speak with Christ, to see the miracles that he worked, to see him walk the earth. We do not have that opportunity, but we have something much greater than that, and that is faith. In the book, The Spiritual Life, by Father Adolf Tankery, the author defines faith as, quote, "a theological virtue that inclines the mind under the influence of the will and of grace to yield a firm assent to revealed truths because of the authority of God." So notice he says that faith is a theological virtue. Okay, what does that mean? What do we mean when we say faith is a theological virtue? We mean that the three theological virtues of faith, hope, and charity are what we call habits of the soul. They're infused directly into our soul with sanctifying grace. So as long as we're in the state of grace, we have faith, hope, and charity as a habit of our soul. We have it with us. We possess it. We possess faith in the state of sanctifying grace. So what does this faith do? We have it, it's in our soul. What does it do for us? How does it help us? It inclines our mind. It helps our intellect that God gave us, the brain he gave us, to think with, to reason. Under the influence of the will, which is that power we have to make a decision to act, and by the help of his divine grace, to yield a firm assent to revealed truths by the authority of God. Okay, what are revealed truths? I don't want to get too in the weeds here, but it's important to understand this. There are certain truths that we can reason to without faith. By the light of reason alone, we can, for instance, the existence of God. I know that it's reasonable that something always comes from something else, and that nothing can come from nothing. And so, therefore, everything must come from something. See, I don't need the grace of God to do that. I can reason to that in my mind. Okay, everything has to come from something. And of course, we reason back. We can reason all the way back to the existence of God just by that thought process. The Blessed Trinity, however, three divine persons in one God, cannot be known by the light of natural reason alone. It's impossible for man. It's beyond the ability of our human intellect to reason to the Blessed Trinity. It is a truth revealed directly to us by God. I am God, in me there are three divine persons. Without him telling us that, we could never come to that knowledge. It's not possible. So we have that theological virtue, as long as we're in the state of sanctifying grace. And then we have the practice of the virtue of faith. And that is, of course, that firm assent of our mind to, okay, I wasn't there when Christ multiplied the loaves and the fishes, but I believe it because God has revealed it either in Holy Scripture or in the traditions of the church. So we should make acts of of faith frequently to strengthen our faith. And as Catholics, we probably make them, thankfully, frequently, more often than we even realize. Did you know that every time you walk into the church and make a genuflection, you've just made an act of faith? Why do you genuflect? Because we know that the faith tells us our Lord is in the tabernacle. How do we know that? We've never seen him with our eyes, never heard him speak. Unless, of course, we have some saints I'm not aware of in the pews today. Most people are not going to have that extraordinary phenomena. Our senses tell us when the priest holds the host up at the time of Holy Communion or during the elevation of the consecration. Our senses tell us that all they see is a round white wafer of bread. But faith tells us the same thing which St. John the Evangelist said to St. Peter when Christ appeared to the disciples after the resurrection as they were fishing, it is the Lord. So we know by faith that Christ is in the Eucharist. So the question is for all of us, I have this supernatural faith. God's given me this grace to be a part of his church. So how do I live my faith? Do the actions that I take coincide with what I believe? St. James writes in his epistle that faith without works is dead. It's a dead thing. What good is the possession of the truth if we live as if we were ignorant of it? It is not only worthless, it is worse than worthless. If knowing better, we act contrary to the law of God. Let us not take our faith for granted, seeing very sadly, even in the history of the church, priests and bishops have lost it through sin. We look at Judas. He performed miracles when he first started to follow the Lord. He could cure the sick just by laying his hands on him. He was called by Christ to be one of the 12. And through sin, he lost that faith and betrayed Christ. Or to lose it through pride, or to never get it in the first place, like the Pharisees, who would not believe Christ, even though he wrought the greatest miracles before their very eyes. They would not believe him because of their pride. They refused, even though the truth was so right in front of their face. They would not do it. Like the Jews in the Old Testament, who waited for 4,000 years for the coming of Christ, let us cling to our faith in the midst of a very dark world. We might almost say that we're living in those Advent times, aren't we? When so many people have forgotten Christ, have forgotten God, that live as if God did not exist, he had no rights. Every Sunday when I preach, I call you faithful. May we not bear the title faithful in name only, but may we bear it in the way in which we live our life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.